Hey everybody, welcome to Disney Dive In, where we are going to be diving into all things Disney. My name is Luke.
And I'm Lindsay.
And today we are going to be discussing a very exciting topic. We're going to be counting down each of our top five favorite Disney soundtracks from any Disney movie, just not Disney Channel original movies. Those are not included, but anything else is fair game.
If this was an inclusion of Disney Channel original movies, this would be an entirely different ballgame. However, we're sticking to the original, we're sticking to our guns, and we are going to count down from 5 to 1. Obviously, we hold all of these soundtracks in very high regard. There are many honorable mentions, but if we named all of the honorable mentions, we'd be here for days. So we're just going to stick to 5. So that being said, dive in with us and let's get started with our countdown.
All right.
So we are going to start with our 5th favorite Disney soundtrack. So I think we'll start with Luke this time.
All right. So my number 5 out of all of the Disney movies ever is Enchanted.
Wow. So that one is a really under the radar movie. I personally love that movie. I remember seeing it in 7th grade in the movie theater and just being astounded at, first of all, that blue dress, and second of all, That's How You Know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The dress she made out of the curtains.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
But
I love the scene where she wakes up and there's just like in the back of the picture, you can see the dress cut out, the silhouette.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
And how tempting it is to talk about fashion design, but we're gonna stick to the music. So yeah, tell us why.
Even though there's only 5 songs in the movie, which is True Love's Kiss, Happy Working Song, That's How You Know, So Close, and Ever Ever After, sung by the Carrie Underwood.
Ooh, season 4.
Season 4, American Idol winner. She's amazing.
She beat Bo Bice, man.
And if you can beat Bo Bice, then you definitely are part of the best Disney soundtrack in the world.
So we all are.
One of them. Yeah, Bo Bice is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember what he sounds like. But, it's only got 5 songs, but every single... So what I tried to do with these is see, like, do I like every single song on this one?
Fair.
And, you know, maybe there are some Disney movies with, like, 12 songs and I like 11, so maybe that will rank higher. But for this one, there's 5 and I like all of them. But my favorite one out of all of them is That's How You Know. I think it is very, for lack of a better word, enchanting.
Ooh.
And it plays all the time when I work at Starbucks, which is really, really fun.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm. It played twice today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, sometimes I play a Disney playlist, which is awesome. I sing Happy Working Song for auditions sometimes, which is super fun.
That's fun because it must show your range.
I mean, like, range acting-wise, for sure. And I guess acting,
I feel like,
or singing.
For a female, it shows... I could hit a span of 3 notes, so anything could show range.
But I love every song. I love playing these songs on piano. I play So Close on the piano all the time and, like, try to sing it, but I can't.
Please.
It's tough. True Love's Kiss, I feel like, it harkens really well back to the older Disney movies, which, I mean, it's kind of like parodying it, but I think it also pays homage to it as well. And that's, I love, like, Silver Age, Golden Age Disney music. And so seeing that in 2007, I thought was so exciting. And it,
right.
I think did Alan Menken or Stephen Schwartz do it?
I guess our listeners could look that up.
Yeah, whoever did it, I mean, they're really good.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And even if it was someone like out of the radar that just like randomly wrote this and like that was their one and done, mm-hmm. Amazing.
It's
good
one
job.
Of the two.
It's, you know what? Excuse my click clacks. We are going to find
my out. Best guess is Stephen Schwartz.
Is that like ASMR? It was composed by Alan Menken with lyrics by Stephen Schwartz.
Hey, I got both of them.
So good job.
I mean, Stephen Schwartz has been around for, I think, longer than Alan Menken has, but they are both very talented.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I mean, the fact that they wrote True Love's Kiss and So Close and That's How You Know all in the same movie, pretty impressive.
Yeah, versatility for sure.
Yeah, so what's your number 5?
So my number 5, and you are going to be just like bountiful with glee at this, Princess and the Frog.
Of course.
So not of course, actually. I remember, and I sound like such a pessimist, but when I saw Princess and the Frog in the movie theater for the first time, I was so hesitant because I knew that if they did not pull this movie off, they would never go back to the old style animation. So there was a lot, and that's not necessarily true, but my ninth grade mind was thinking this. So there was a lot on the line for this movie. And I remember sitting there thinking so critically of this movie and watching it and just thinking, I hate these songs. And I specifically remember listening to When We're Human, the ending when they're like, I'm gonna live the high life. And I'm just like, this doesn't rhyme and it's silly and I don't like it. However,
I know what you mean.
When I took a few months off and then I rewatched the movie on one of the best Disney trips we've ever taken when all our cousins were there, mm-hmm. and the movie was kind of like still very popular, but kind of fading out. I just found so much enchantment and magic in the soundtrack specifically. And this is something that might be off your radar. So a music suggestion for those of you who don't know this, Never Knew I Needed by Ne-Yo.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So beautifully composed and written. Wonderful lyrics. It plays at the end credits of Princess and the Frog. I guess also, I don't want to go on and on about how great it is, but...
it is great.
It is great. Mabel Evangeline is just such a beautifully written song sung mm-hmm. by no other than Ray the Firefly. And I love the way that the animation kind of coincides and juxtaposes with it.
Oh yeah, the lit up flowers.
I was about to say the mm-hmm. lit up lily pads when they're dancing, and it's just such a meaningful moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Also in the same vein, they write songs like that and then Ne-Yo, and then they also have Dr. John vibes of the New Orleans down in New Orleans.
Randy Newman's very good.
Randy Newman, who did the Toy Story soundtrack, but tried to channel Dr. John, who is a very famous I guess like a kind of a cult favorite singer from New Orleans. Recently? He died like maybe 2 years ago or maybe even longer. I feel like the last 5 years.
I feel
years.
Like it was this year.
I feel like it was like 4 years ago. Somewhere in between. Who cares? But, well, no, I care. But who cares about when? So Princess and the Frog. That is my number 5.
That's actually my number 4.
Ooh, well, tell me about it.
So, pretty good segue. I'm with you on when I initially saw the movie When We're Human stuck out as like, what?
It was like redundant and like juvenile.
When she goes, when you do your best teaching every day.
Yeah, that something about it. I was just like, this is so juvenile.
It was like tacky and like predictable in the moment. But I don't know. I really grew to love it.
Oh, me too. That's 100%.
One of my favorites, not my favorite. My favorite is, Mabel Evangeline also.
Tell us why.
Well, I think the performance, Jim Cummings, is really, really impressive.
He can do a lot of voices, so does he do Scar?
He does Scar.
That's
he does
insane.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And he does Ray, and he does more, I'm sure.
Side note, you want to know a fun fact about Be Prepared?
Sure.
So, I don't know if you told me this. No, you didn't tell me this. So, okay. So, Jeremy Irons... And I might be getting this backwards.
I don't know who that is.
Jeremy Irons sings Be Prepared as the voice of Scar.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through it, or three quarters way through it, he lost his voice. So if you notice about like the ending chorus, the voice changes, and that is Jim Cummings.
That's pretty impressive. He's pretty good.
I mean, this is something that I've heard. So I actually did not Google fact. But this is
it's a rumor floating around.
It is a rumor floating around.
Either way, just... If he does Scar, that's really cool and shows versatility more. But either way, Winnie the Pooh to Ray the Firefly is pretty, pretty good voice talents.
Oh, gosh,
also, I feel like it's a really good turning point in the movie with Tiana and Naveen's relationship. And I love, it's not part of the song technically, but
Mabel
when she says,
Evangeline.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
When she says, I've never danced. And he says, if I can dance, you can dance. That's the pinnacle of romance.
Yeah, he's showing care for someone other than himself.
Exactly.
Once.
And that is a great change.
It's like reciprocal.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched Saving Mr. Banks last night. And it's so cool. One of the characters is talking about Mr. Banks. And he's... Okay, I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
but it would have been a great point here, but it'll be a better point later. I'm sure that leads towards one of my future picks.
And maybe mine too. You never know.
But Princess and the Frog is amazing. I love My Belle Evangeline. And for some reason, my second favorite is The Evening Star is Shining Bright, even though that lasts for like 15 seconds. I think
it's just the perfect opening. It's like
the movie.
Still before something beautiful happens.
Yes, I have chills in my face.
No, me too. Oh, the chills on my face. No, but it's like the still. Okay, if this makes sense, it's like that stage in your life where you don't know something great is about to happen, and looking back on that time in your life, you know what I mean? But you don't know what's happening in the moment.
I want to call it the antebellum, but I know that's not the word. I think that's a Civil War thing.
Definitely a history term. But yeah, so I guess that finishes our thoughts on
Princess and the Frog. Yeah, so what's your number four?
So my number four, actually, I've always loved this movie, but my opinion of my number four changed when I saw the stage show, The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Now, when did you see the stage show?
Well, I did see the stage show, and this is actually a very interesting story. So this is kind of like a side note, but I have an overactive throat chakra, which means that...
What?
I'm an oversharer. Oh. But I'll just go on and on. But as a side note, I saw the stage version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame in 2017.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The night before I left for my Disney college program, for those of you who didn't listen to a few episodes ago, and I'll probably...
Shame on you. No, I'm kidding.
I'll probably share this like more when I talk about my specific DCP Disney college program story. I decided to leave for the Disney college program a day and a half in advance. And the night I saw this was the night before I left. And I was just bubbling with so much excitement about going and starting my journey the next day. Also, I got to see my very, very amazingly, insanely talented brother Luke play.
Oh, thank you.
Of course, play Judge Claude Frollo, who is my favorite villain just because of his complexity. I love Victor Hugo's mind, and I like the way he paints villains, because in a sense, you feel bad for them, and they're tortured, and they're torn between two different paths or mindsets.
Right and wrong.
Yeah,
just and unjust.
Exactly. So Victor Hugo also wrote Les Mis, but that's another side note. Anyway, I saw this when Luke played Judge Frollo, and it really opened my eyes to how beautiful and powerful the music is. If I had to pick a favorite song, this is really tough because I'm sure most of you know out there, which again gives me chills when I even think about it.
They're so good.
It became popularized when it was portrayed. It was projected on the castle in Happily Ever After. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the second song or maybe the third. Mm-hmm. And it's in a higher key. And as someone with perfect pitch, that irks me to death.
Oh.
But so this is a great song. It really shows Quasimodo's yearning for just, you know, the outside world. And I think a lot of us could relate to that, even though we are not locked in a bell tower. Just yearning for something more, so a greater sense of adventure, whatever it means to you. I think out there could have like a personal meaning to whoever listens to it. But my favorite, and this is like kind of unpopular, but it's like a specific moment in a song. So...
Say Topsy Turvy.
I actually love Topsy Turvy. That's my third favorite. I think it's amazing and so celebratory and like so funny. And
it's
I think
so Clopin
is like such a fun character. But my favorite part about the music of The Hunchback of Notre Dame is this one part. So the villain, Frollo, has a song called Hellfire, and it is insane. And I'm getting chills. It is just
it's really good.
It's so torturous. Like he is so tortured in this song, and you could really feel the emotions, and you could really feel how angry and self-hating and kind of afraid he is. However, it's juxtaposed, or actually it's prefaced by a song by Quasimodo called Heaven's Light. And it's beautiful and in such a, I guess like a major key, right?
F major.
Major. And between these two songs, it like has this interlude that kind of like you could kind of envision yourself, like, to me it kind of, if this makes sense, I envision like crawling down to like a basement.
I know what you mean.
Like it just goes down, it crawls down into something so much deeper,
like in Les Mis,
and it changes the key.
Javert's suicide and into the sewers,
kind of like that. Does it go into a minor key, if I'm not mistaken? It goes at like do, 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 or it stays in the same key, but it, the background is like a little different. Listen to that. It's called Heaven's Light / Hellfire. It's really good. That probably sounded like nothing if you've never heard it. And it probably sounded like me rambling. But if you have listened to it and you appreciate it, it's a really cool song.
It is good.
And that's my favorite song.
All the music in that one is good.
It really is.
I think the Bells of Notre Dame is really good,
yeah,
too.
It tells a story. Just, I think that...
Like, sleeper hit.
Sleeper hit all around, just like Brother Bear, who I did not mention.
Brother Bear is good.
Brother Bear is good. I do not mention Brother Bear in this, but it's great. But Hunchback of Notre Dame, if you haven't listened to the soundtrack, listen to it. If it doesn't quite catch your fancy, watch the movie and then listen to
the
soundtrack.
Gotta have it in context.
You really do. The most compelling part, I think, is Frollo's story. Just to me.
Or the goat.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know what that goat's name is.
I don't either.
That goat dumb.
Who cares? Just like that freaking, that haha or whatever. I just did a Disney sin. I just said something bad about Moana.
Oh, hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Yes. Okay. Haha. So moving on. So we have done our number 5 and number 4. And now we will move on to our...
Number 3. My number 3 is...
Is?
One of my favorite movies... ever, one of my favorite princesses. It is Snow White.
I knew you were gonna say that.
I feel like I'm the only 23-year-old male gay white fan of I'm just saying everything that applies
as
to
opposed
me.
To the gay black
as
or
a
gay
case
Hispanic.
Of the exact yeah. Not being white has nothing to
it
do
has
with
nothing
my
to do
me
with it.
Liking this one. Being gay probably has nothing to do with this one, but being 23 definitely has a lot to do with it, because I feel like no one pays attention to Snow White that is my age.
I loved Snow White as a
not
child,
many people.
But I think that other princesses, unfortunately, their stories are more just relatable to me, like Cinderella.
Or maybe relevant for the time.
Yeah, totally.
But I really admire the music and the work that's put into Snow White. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. Classic story. And it's hard to put it into context at the time, like, to see how, like, revolutionary this movie was. But, I mean, it was, like, the first thing of its kind.
Oh, totally.
And so I think we kind of take that for granted, seeing how cool and intriguing and never been seen before this movie was.
Yeah.
And so I tried to take that into account. It fit, like... 7-8 major songs in one film.
Oh, totally.
Which is more than a lot of the newer Disney films.
A lot of people realize, too. People
yeah.
just think, like, Whistle While You Work and Hi-Ho.
No, it's got Hi-Ho. It's got Whistle While You Work with a smile and a song. It has the silly song. It has Someday My Prince Will Come, I'm Wishing, and One Song.
One Song is fantastic.
Hi-Ho. Did I say Hi-Ho?
Yeah, Dig, Dig, Dig.
We dig, 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 dig.
Also, Adriana Castellotti, I think. Castellotti.
Yes.
I'm not the best pronouncer.
Her voice is
beautiful.
One of the best. I think it's top 3 Disney princess voices.
And a lot of people today, because they're so used to, you know, the Ariana Grandes and the Beyoncés and the Belters. And
yeah.
They kind of dismiss voices like that.
Mm-hmm. That yeah. takes a lot. I mean, not that Ariana Grande's voice
they
doesn't
have,
take a lot.
Yes,
but
it's popularized.
Yeah, I think... Adriana Castellotti, her voice is, I've never heard anything like it. I think it's so beautiful. Obviously, you know, during Whistle While You Work when she does the,
yeah, I can't do that, but that's like one of the best things.
That's one of the greatest things I've ever heard. And the fact that I get to replay it whenever I want is amazing.
That's one of my favorite Disney songs.
Yeah, that's my favorite one in Snow White. I also love One Song, another sleeper hit.
Sure.
The first croony Prince song in all of Disney. It's so beautiful.
And
I also sing that for One Song.
Yeah. I actually thought Snow White sang it.
No, she sings I'm Wishing, and then One Song comes right after. She's at the well, and then she goes, and she hides away.
Okay.
And it ends with her closing the window and blushing. It's so beautiful.
Oh, she blushes. And
I know.
As
I
a
love
blusher,
Snow White.
As a blusher, I understand.
You are more than a blusher. You are a flusher.
Maybe.
You turned entirely red.
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you trying to say? But it's not even at embarrassment. It's at heightened emotion. So if I feel excited about something, I'm just like, the curse of the Irish. Such is the plight.
Hey, it's true.
Such is the plight of an Irish lass.
But I love Whistle While You Work.
Yeah.
And I think it shows Snow White's spirit really well, and teaching those little men the way of life and how to be upstanding and respectful people.
Yes, a lot of people have the misconception that she was just doing their chores and being like a typical, like, you know, housewife, but that's not the case. She was teaching them responsibility.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also the argument like, oh, maybe that's not her job. Like, why does she have to be doing that?
But it's true, but listen, like, who cares? She's doing something
she
nice.
She
did it,
and she made a really bad situation where she was trying to get, or she was about to get killed, into a good one. She found her way, and I mean, I can find feminist things in that.
Yeah.
But anyway, music, beautiful, so good. I also worked at the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at Disney, and I heard these instrumental versions of these songs all day.
Oh,
so maybe that popularized them to me, but it also could have made me hate them really, really bad.
If
but
you had a negative attitude.
It didn't. Well, I tried not to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the ride is so good. The music's so good. Many great memories. Maybe that's why I like Snow White so much. But amazing nonetheless. I think that's a non-biased thing. No matter what,
no,
Snow White's amazing, and being the first of its kind makes me appreciate it even more.
Love that.
So what's your number three?
And that sums it up perfectly. My number three, and this might be a little bit expected, but you can't really deny just the greatness of this soundtrack and how powerful it was, especially during the time, because I even think, just as a preface, this was during the Disney Renaissance, and even though there was one good movie after another, I think this one really revolutionized Disney music, and that's The Lion King.
It's good. I don't have it, but it's good.
But it's good. I think there are a lot of masterpieces within this soundtrack, and they all kind of sound different from one another.
I agree.
Yeah, The Circle of Life is one of the most powerful songs.
Absolutely.
But again, I feel like as a visual person, as someone that appreciates like art and animation, a lot of my picks have to do with the animation that coincides with it. So
sure.
When you see those beautiful reflections of scenes that we're not used to, at least as Americans, we are not really exposed to those scenes in Africa where nature is untouched. Mm. Just seeing that, you know, just seeing that coinciding with beautiful music, I really appreciate that. I also love Timon and Pumbaa. They're hilarious.
They're funny.
They're really funny. I just can't wait to be king. We have funny memories of that song because
my talent show?
Luke danced to it in a talent show.
I also think I almost auditioned with that for my first musical, and you and Peter were like, no, don't do that. That sounds weird. So I did A Whole New World, which is wonderful that I sang an Aladdin song for an audition. Different time.
different time for sure.
Anyway.
Wait, did you sing both parts?
I don't know. I think I just sang the beginning. I don't think I could have, but
At the time.
I don't think I did. That would have been really funny.
Not Disney, but if you guys have ever seen Diary of a Wimpy Kid, it's like, oh, Craig, you make a lovely soprano.
Yeah, that was probably what the directors were thinking when I auditioned. I was like, literally at the top of my lungs.
Very, very. Me and Luke used to play a game where we would turn around and we would say something and then our mom would guess who was saying it. We played it one time in a pizzeria.
I do not remember this.
You don't?
No.
Oh my god, it was like you were in
probably
fifth grade, I was in seventh, and we were like...
Please, I would get, is this Anne? Is this Missy? Until I was like 15.
But never is this
Lindsay. I only recently, like 2 years ago, got Artie, which is my dad's name.
Yes!
I rejoiced.
Score!
But
listen, never like, oh, is this Lindsay? Because the rasp is just...
Yeah, you have too butch of a voice for me.
I think so too. But I don't
Lion King's great though. Lion King
is
amazing. I also like the instrumental music in it. This Land is a really good.
I've actually heard. Yes, I actually know what you're talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. Really good instrumental music at the.
It's when they're in. It's
half.
The night sky. That whole song.
Oh.
I love it. I do kind of, for me, feel like the movie trails off a little bit
at the end.
Sort of the end. Yeah. That's why I've never been really able to get into Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
I don't know why. That's always been my least favorite out
Me
of
too.
All of them.
It's just like, I guess as like a like child, I was never into the gushy like romantic songs. I was always into the more funny, upbeat.
I was. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I totally wasn't. But my favorite song, actually, can you guess?
Be Prepared?
Be Prepared. I think it is awesome, and I think the animation's so cool. I think those marching hyenas is so, like, it's so representative of, like, the power that Scar has over his kingdom and how
it's like Nazi stuff. It's scary.
No, it's scary, but that's what I mean. It's it like kind of is a testament to how unlikely it was for Simba to overcome that. And it's like, wow, like this is crazy. Like Scar is crazy. And then
Scar is a good villain.
Then what happens. Yeah, he's one of my favorite villains.
Bad uncle though.
A monkey's uncle. That's what he says.
He does say that.
He's like, if I become king, like, what does that make you? And then, or something like that. And he's like, a monkey's uncle.
How clever. All right. So that's your third?
That is my third. All right.
That's that. My number two.
Let me guess.
I haven't decided.
Okay.
So I'm going to decide right now.
Okay.
Guess. Sure, guess. Yeah, I have it.
Sleeping Beauty?
No, I don't have that on here. It's Beauty and the Beast.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
So, I
feel like we don't really talk about Beauty and the Beast that much.
You and I, or like we as a public?
No, me and you.
Yeah, the public talks about Beauty and the Beast a lot. It's everything anyone ever talks about in these days, you know?
You know the guy from Eurovision?
The movie?
The movie.
I don't really remember.
The guy who plays like the best character.
Oh, the funny character?
Yeah.
They're all funny, but...
Well, they're all funny. He actually plays the Beast.
In
the live action.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see the live action because I kind of got a sour taste in my mouth about the live action stuff.
Yeah, I don't kinda like it.
If they're going to do a live action, I want them to do like Robin Hood live action, which I think they might be doing.
No, do not.
Or like Black Cauldron or Sword in the Stone. Like ones that like...
Could be better.
Could be really revamped, actually.
Instead of just like redone for the same hype.
They're taking like the best movies ever and doing them again for money.
And inevitable disappointment.
It's exactly. Because like how can you... again, I heard the Lion King one was great.
I heard
Cinderella was really great. But, I mean, Lily James was Cinderella.
I was about to say.
But, I mean, do ones that didn't get the love, like Atlantis or something. I don't know. Anyway, my number two is Beauty and the Beast. There are no bad songs on this whole entire album.
Yes, that is so true.
There are no... I mean, the prologue is beautiful. The instrumental. I feel like you guys are getting a lot of poorly done instrumental vocalization by me.
And me.
I apologize. I just feel like I feel really comfortable around you guys now, and I feel like I'm allowed to bear this part of my soul to you. My favorite song in Beauty and the Beast is Something There, and that's one of my favorite. I think that is my favorite song in animated Disney music.
Okay.
But not in regular, like, all around Disney music, which, of course, is Tiki Room. I'm kidding.
That's what to sing.
So... Something There, I love Turning Points, and I love Christmas also. I love Christmas so much, and that's sort of a Christmassy song, because it's happening during the snow. Also, sleeper hit, Belle's Enchanted Christmas, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
That thing, that's actually just a sleeper.
I have a bad memory of, like, waiting at your soccer practice and mom putting that on for me, and I wanted to leave.
That's not even true, because mom was like 10 minutes late to every single time I had soccer practice, always
very
picking
true.
Me up at the end.
Four
no
kids,
shade,
man.
Mom.
Yeah, four but, kids.
All right. So Something There is amazing. I think it's so beautiful. I love how we get many different voices. That's like the biggest group number. I mean, Be Our Guest is a big group number, but that's like we get to hear like Mrs. Potts sing and Cogsworth sings a little bit in the mirror. And the Beast says, my paw, which is one of the funniest things in the... when they touch, you didn't shudder at my paw. It, like, that is so... I always laugh at that. I feel like even when I was little, I would be like, the Beast just said, my paw, and it didn't make sense. Really
Everybody
takes me out of the illusion.
Back.
Yeah. but regardless, Something There is my favorite song.
Okay.
Angela Lansbury, I'm a big fan of her ever since
why
MAME.
Why is that? Yeah,
because I love MAME. MAME is a musical. It's probably not a PC musical anymore, but the music from MAME is a really great testament to Angela Lansbury's talents.
And she's still kicking.
She is. Literally, she's still kicking. I think she's like 89, 90 right now, which is amazing.
It has to be more.
Also, a couple of years ago, she sang Beauty and the Beast live, and she was still great.
Oh, she, of course. Yeah,
Gaston, she's a awesome. Great villain song. I feel like...
Kill the Beast is a great song.
Well, Mob Song and and Gaston are great villain songs. I feel like that's what you lack with other ones like
Moana.
Shiny is okay.
Oh, I actually love Shiny.
I listened to that in the shower today, and it was, I mean, I got down to it.
You know, this is my favorite Moana song, and everyone is going to turn this off after this, but
my favorite Moana song is Awe, Awe.
That's
and they
good
feel
too.
The water.
I just love Shiny.
I feel like there are just like certain Disney movies that really miss the mark with a good villain song.
Yeah.
Such as Hercules could have been on here, but they don't have good villain. They don't have a villain song, I think, at all on that
one.
Yeah,
I was about to say, I don't.
Mulan, the villain gets completely lost because there's no.
There's a villain, but he's just like too characterless.
Shen Yun, he's just random.
He's
I think
just
that's
like a
name.
Large rock of a man.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the Huns as a whole are villain. But anyway, I love a good villain song, and Beauty and the Beast has two.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and a reprise of Gaston. So I just love the characterization. I feel like this is one of the first that was like built to be a Broadway musical.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I you know, I love Broadway. So Beauty and the Beast, number two for sure. Be Our Guest is a showstopper. I made a music video to that with Joel one time, and it was the funniest thing I've done in my life. And great memories attached to it. I performed Belle in someone's recital with my friend Megan, and she dropped a little baby doll during the number. It was very funny.
Oh.
Yeah, great memories attached to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
and great music all around. No bad songs.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. No bad songs.
Except for Human Again.
Well, I don't like the Broadway show. But I'm not going to go on and on. We'll move on
after
this.
Well, Human Again was supposed to be in the movie.
I know.
I'm glad they cut it.
I'm so glad, too.
Anyway, what's your number two?
So my number two is actually, I touched upon this in a previous podcast, and I actually cited it as my favorite, but upon further thinking, I have a new favorite. Tarzan. I'm not going to go on and on. I'm going to cut this to like a minute or two. But basically,
yeah, right.
This is a masterpiece. Phil Collins, who is a singer from Genesis, and I think he has like solo stuff as well.
Against All Odds.
Against All Odds from Karaoke Revolution 3 or 2.
That's where it originated, yeah,
that's
for sure.
Exactly. That's our
that's where it debuted.
That's where it debuted. I think that this is a masterpiece, like I said, and I think that each song was very tactfully written to match the animation surrounding it. So, like, you could really feel those, like, blue and green, dark, shadowy jungle vibes in each song. You could feel the adventure in each song. My favorite is Strangers Like Me. I love when he's, or when she is drawing him.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that. And they're showing each other, like, kind of what they could do. I don't really know how to explain it or put my finger on it. But I also have great memories attached to the Tarzan soundtrack, just from when I was little, just going on car rides and things like that.
I think it's really cool to have, like, a third-party singer.
Yes.
That takes you through the movie.
That's, and you know what? That's what I couldn't put my finger on.
Yeah. I mean, there are some songs that are
Trash
in the Camp and then You'll Be in My Heart, but then Phil Collins takes over.
But that's a better version.
It like
yeah. Phil Collins is the better version.
Don't do Glenn Close dirty like that.
No. It's just the instruments.
No,
in
Phil
the
Collins is probably better.
Yeah.
I don't take too well to that soundtrack for some reason. I just don't like Son of Man. I don't know why I don't like it that much.
Are you mad that Tarzan turned into a man?
You know,
I could picture you
it
being
might
mad.
Be, yeah.
That Tarzan turned into a man.
No, it's good. I love. It's a good song, but I can't sing it.
Oh.
So maybe I don't. I can't get into it whenever it comes on. I'm just like, oh man, I can't sing along to this. It's too high.
The lyrics are so powerful.
No, it's great. It's
in learning you will teach, and in teaching you will learn.
You will learn, of course.
So good.
But I don't know. I just, for some reason, I just struggled to get into the music of Tarzan. I recently rewatched the movie like 3 months ago. I'm trying to watch every Disney movie. We're doing all right with it. But Tarzan, one of the best Disney
movies. One of the
best.
And I think the music has so much to do with it.
Yeah, but I don't know why. It's not one of my favorites. I don't know why.
And that's okay. You don't have to lie and say it is. You know, like, one of my favorite Disney movies is The Aristocats, and that's not my favorite soundtrack, nor is Coco.
It's good, though.
But it's good. It's all good.
Oh, Coco's so good.
Coco's a fine soundtrack, but that's my favorite Disney movie. So it doesn't have to, like, kind of, like, correlate. Causation doesn't equal correlation, or whatever that crazy math phrases, but I would have to say that Tarzan is my number two.
Sure.
Okay, so I have a sneaking feeling that we have the same number one just because we were raised by the same mother and because we were kind of touching upon
little Yeah, I let it go.
You let it go, yeah. So
no, before, it's not Frozen, everyone. It's not Frozen.
It's not Frozen. but my favorite, and I guess we'll talk about it turn by turn because I think we both have a lot to say and I think we should both be interrupted.
Right, let's say it on three.
One, two, three.
Mary Sword in the Stone. I'm kidding. Yeah, Mary Poppins.
Oh, man. I was thinking of doing something like that, and then I didn't want to ruin it, but you did the job.
Hey, I'm known to ruin.
I am known to be in ruins, so.
All right, I'll let you talk about this one first, since I've talked first for most of them.
Oh.
Unless you...
You know what? You go first. You go first.
And you can be the big finale.
All right.
All right. Mary Poppins, again, not a bad song on that album, and don't you dare bring up Fidelity Fiduciary.
The best song. Not the best, but I love that
song. Okay, that song is... Okay.
It's so funny.
Watching Saving Mr. Banks and watching them do that song, it made me like a little bit more. It's funny, but it's also scary.
Uh-huh.
Some of those banker men. You need to watch Saving Mr. Banks. You will have a whole newfound appreciation for that movie. Anyway, every song is so good. Stay Awake is so beautiful. Feed the Birds is probably one of the most meaningful songs ever. My playwriting teacher last year asked what your theme song is, and I said Feed the Birds for some reason, which is kind of morbid and bleak.
Wait, but it is your theme song.
I feel like that's my theme song.
Because you're so empathetic.
Oh, thank you. Go on. Mm. All right, silence. Cool. But... Even the overture of Mary Poppins, the fact that it has an overture when she's sitting in the cloud and getting ready, that's beautiful.
So cool.
I also, this doesn't have too much to do with music because it's just a song, but I love, it's just like instrumentation, but when the women get blown away that are auditioning for the nannies, I don't know.
Can I just say
how
something?
Else to explain that that's my peak interest no, is yes, those women.
I was about to explain that. So Luke.
Yes, I'm gay.
Luke loves, and he has ever since he was little, Mother Goose-like figures.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and I... Oh, yes.
But they're plain and, like, a little big, a little overweight.
Kind of busty.
Not fat, busty, older, yes. Definitely spinsters. He loves them.
I love them. The woman that flies... I wish I could show it. When she flies away, she's like, woo! And her arms are out flat.
I thought you were the woman that's just gives up.
The one that's hanging on to the fence. I love her storyline.
Me too.
Her character arc is beautiful. But the final one to float away and it's like as she goes away. Oh my god! I wish I could better explain the final woman that just floats away like a flat piece of paper. Her arms are just out. And she's got a horse jockey hat on or something like that.
I don't know. Oh my god, genius. How did they do that in the 60s?
I don't know.
Anyway, we're on a tangent.
Also, the fact that Mary Poppins makes the nannies go away by the wind changing. Yeah, winds and
how dastardly.
Anyway. I'll just cut to the chase. The best song in Mary Poppins is A Man Has Dreams.
You think?
100%.
Okay, that's a great song because it's reprised so much. It's a theme.
Yes. But that is the... I mean, I think it happens three times.
Uh-huh.
But that is the best one. I feel like George Banks... it chills my face again. George Banks is the best character in the movie.
I am big... If this makes sense, I really feel for people that feel like they can't be redeemed. And feel like they can't, I'm choking up.
It's feel so like beautiful.
They feel like they can't be forgiven or seen in another way.
Yeah.
And then, I'll go to my thing later.
But I love Mr. Banks. I feel like he's the main character of the movie.
He is the main character.
I feel like Mary, oh my god, and here I am looking at, I have a framed autograph picture of Julie Andrews in my room, and it's just in the perfect position for me to look at right now. Mr. Banks is the best. And his, I don't want to spoil Saving Mr. Banks for you, but...
But we know it's about, his story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they, in Saving Mr. Banks, it's Walt Disney realizes, oh my god, Mary Poppins doesn't come to save the children, she comes to save Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
And Oh, I have chills in my face.
Oh my gosh, I'd love it to watch
so, it. It is so, you need to watch it as soon as possible. And there's a great clip at the end that's like an actual clip. It's in the credits of P.F. Travers, which is the author, talking about how Mr. Banks never has a change of heart. His true character is just revealed at the end. He's just been caught up in like different things of the world.
I could totally relate.
His heart's
to
always
that.
Been there. He's just been
distracted
by the pleasantries of the world and everything, the money in the bank.
Yeah.
Which but
are
oh
not
my god,
pleasantries.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, my favorite songs are like "Let's Go Fly a Kite," "A Man Has Dreams," and "Feed the Birds," which all in a way have to do with Mr. Banks. And when he walks up to go quit his job, and yeah. "Feed the Birds" is playing, that
that
is the greatest moment
in cinematic history.
And I'm not trying to be like funny. That is the what a beautiful
human.
Like incidental music reprise that. That like that's why the soundtrack to Mary Poppins is the best Disney soundtrack ever, is because of the repeating themes of the life I lead, A Man Has Dreams, all that, and Feed the Birds comes back, and Chim Chim Cheree is playing in the beginning and that plays in the end. Oddly enough, I don't really like Step in Time.
I don't either. Yeah, I thought it was absurd when I was younger.
I
wanted it to be over because I wanted, like, another part to come.
Yes, I don't like the beginning of Step in Time, but there's part, like, I love when they invade the house.
Yeah,
and
it's
Ellen
the
screams.
Step in Time.
Right? Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I love the dancing on the railing. I love Mary Poppins turning around. That also explains my love for women.
Yes.
When she turns around. I love her feet land in the fireplace.
I know what you mean.
Step in Time's a great song, but like the beginning, the lead up to Step in Time, I don't like as much as
totally,
the others. I like
totally.
It. But in context of the movie, watching it is great. Listening to it, redundant a little bit.
I agree.
Anyway, please talk about Mary Poppins because I have so much to say about it.
Oh my gosh, me too. But I think you've summed it all up. Like you said, I think that every single song has a lot of variation to it, but it's very incidental as well. So a lot of the songs sound different, but they're repeated oftentimes throughout
the movie.
Yes,
with purpose.
With purpose, and I think that's very genius, and I think it's a thing that we as children do not recognize. Also, speaking of kind of two topics, things that we don't recognize as children and George Banks, I think that we do not recognize the power of his story until we kind of cross moments like that in our lives or maybe meet people like that.
Hmm.
Ever since I was little,
I
always,
so
for
good.
Some reason, you know, Let's Go Fly a Kite is like the happiest song. It's the grand finale. And ever since I was little, I've always just sobbed at that song, even though it's happy. And I could never put my finger on it. But now I realize as an adult, it's because of that story of redemption. And that's why I cry when Hector crosses the bridge in Coco. It's like, that is the theme in my life that touches me the most when someone that feels irredeemable is redeemed.
Yeah.
And that is such a beautiful moment. And I think what makes music beautiful, what makes these soundtracks beautiful, are the stories behind them.
Yeah.
And we don't just like a song because of how it sounds. We like it because of the lyrics, whether we realize or not. Songs are poetry and songs are reflections of themes in life. And, you know, I think Mary Poppins really serves this purpose in its songs. I could go on forever. A fun fact, Walt Disney's favorite song was Feed the Birds.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think my favorite part of it is the instrumental right before the final verse, I suppose, when everything just sounds like very heavenly and like grand. All that to say, I think that, like I said, music is meant to tell stories and to convey emotions and to relate to themes that are human, whether they're simple or not, as simple as George Banks quitting his job or, you know, something like that. And that's why I think I like Mary Poppins. So hopefully, like Luke said, sometimes listening to it could be redundant, but if you think of it in context of the movie itself, I really think you could look at it through a new lens. So I definitely invite you to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. I know we're talking about something a little different, but what's Disney without music, of course? We all have such good memories attached to Disney music, and hopefully this inspires you to create a list of your own, maybe watch some movies you haven't watched in a while, and look at things through a new lens. But as we usually do, I have a little bit of a lightning round coming right at you. So I've written 4 questions. You can explain it maybe with 1 sentence, but stick it to 1 second sentence. I'm going to answer 2. Luke doesn't know these questions, but I do.
I'm excited.
All right. He is excited. Lightning round number 1. Favorite all-time Disney song?
Either Something There or Man Has Dreams.
Okay, great. My favorite all-time Disney song is Why Should I Worry by Oliver and Company.
Ah, but that's not your favorite soundtrack.
Not at all, but it's
some of those songs on that soundtrack are weird.
Yeah, some of them are a little odd and make me cry because I think of like the sad scenes. But worst Disney song?
Oh my god.
It's so hard, right?
I mean, does It's the End of the World as We Know It from Chicken Little count?
Yes.
No. Hickety pickety from Sword in the Stone.
I don't know that line.
Mad Madam Mim from Sword in the Stone. Anything from Sword in the Stone except for the opening song. You need to watch Sword in the Stone because it is so bad. No, I shouldn't say it's bad. The music, which is bizarre because guess who did the music for Sword in the Stone?
Was it Alan Menken?
No, I don't know if he was doing music at that time. Sword in the Stone's in the 60s. It was the Sherman Brothers who did Mary Poppins.
Wait,
like a year before. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Isn't that bizarre?
Me? Wow. And
it might also have to do with the fact that the people that were chosen to play Madam Mim and Merlin were not singers, so to speak.
That's true. But, it's just a little ridiculous and repetitive and annoying.
The music in those is just...
Anyway, lightning round.
I'm sorry. Okay,
it's okay. Yeah, bad.
What's yours?
So mine is going to be, and you guys probably don't know this, but you are going to know this, My Funny Friend and Me by Sting.
Oh my god,
I think it's Sting. If it's not, I'm sorry, from The Emperor's New Groove. It plays in like the ending credits.
It's the credits.
And it is so anticlimactic. It is the worst.
It
is
like, it just so doesn't bad. Fit the vibe of the movie.
It doesn't. It is so bad. But that's lightning round. So, song you like that many people don't.
Oh, God.
That's tough, right? I can answer first.
Sure.
Shiny.
Shiny is good.
I like the beat. I like banging my head to it. It's cool. I like it. But a lot of people think it's dumb. And no, a lot of people say that as like the turning point of like the badness of the movie. They're like, oh, this is when it gets bad. I love Shiny.
You know what song I really like that a lot of people think is the worst?
What?
Fixer Upper from Frozen.
I like that too. Thank you. People think that's the worst?
I think a lot of people are like, oh god, the troll song. What's the worst? No, Fixer Upper is good.
I like the end of it.
He's a bit of a fixer upper.
So good. Now, the worst Disney soundtrack. The Fox and the Hound.
Shut up!
Oh no, I'll scream it louder for the hills. The Fox and the Hound. I cannot.
Okay, name the songs.
There's 5.
What are they?
When You're the Best of Friends. And then
amazing
like,
song.
All those other dreadful sad songs.
Goodbye May Seem Forever.
Oh god, no. I can't. So sad. I'm not saying it is bad musically.
When you gotta...
It's just not good.
I like that one. Big Moxie, you can't come for Big Mama like that. I don't like Lack of Education, whatever that song
is. There is a song called Lack of, yeah.
But Goodbye May Seem Forever and Best of Friends are 2 of the best Disney songs ever.
I just get really sensitive.
So,
I think
back
it's a,
off.
I think it's a me thing.
Sword in the Stone has the worst music from Disney. It really does.
From what you were saying, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, and one last one. Favorite song from the theme parks?
There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Oh, that's such a nice one. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really tough one. For me, okay, if we can't, do we count Main Street songs?
Are you going to do Maple Leaf Rag?
No. And no, put on your Sunday clothes. But sure, if you guys fine. Haven't gone on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, the song they play during that I really like.
Ooh.
Yeah. But a lot of you probably haven't because a lot of you haven't been. It opened March 4th, I believe. Sad. Or something around that. 2020. This year? Yeah, and I was able to go like the week after.
But like, it is, no one's been on
it. Not a lot of people have been on it, but it's such a good ride. I think it might be my favorite in Hollywood Studios. So, yeah. I guess that concludes our musical review.
Yay!
If you guys have any requests, I'm not quite sure how you could reach us, but you could find us somehow and let us know what you think.
My Instagram is the Baba Luke.
And I am going to be mysterious and not reveal my Instagram. But if you want to suggest something to Luke, it's at the Baba Luke. TheBabaLuke.
Like the Babadook, but Luke.
Equally scary.
Boo.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. And what's a good sign off?
Bye, my special ladies.
And men.